father, I speak for my mom and my sister. We are just so blessed by the love that we feel and the support that's been coming for the last few weeks and culminating right here this morning. So thank you. I also want to thank the caregivers that worked with my mom in the last year with my dad. They worked tirelessly and with a great deal of love. Mary, who's here today. Mary, where are you? Lord bless you. You're just wonderful. And Mary could get my dad to do things. We were complaining about my dad not getting up and not trying, whatever, and all of a sudden we'd come home and Mary had him walking around the block. So there was just something in her heart and spirit that Dad really responded to. My mother-in-law, Virginia, also, who is here, worked with my mom, with my dad. Where are you, Virginia? Back here. Okay, there's too many people. Okay. Bless you and thank you for your efforts. And also Liz, who's not here today, and Dominique. So we appreciate all the help. You know, I know we were going to try to contain this within an hour, and it's already been over an hour. There are some things that I really would like to share, things I didn't get a chance to tell my dad. I'd like to say it today, if you wouldn't mind indulging me. I know where the food's at, unless you let me talk. There's no eating, so you better be going like this. We do have Greek food following the service, so I probably shouldn't say that right now. You probably smell it coming through the kitchen. But my father was such a large presence in my life, and you know, in the latter part he got sick and we really weren't able to communicate on a deep level. And these are some things that I just wanted to say to him, and I know he's listening, so I'll share them with you. When I think about my father, the main thing that comes to mind, the first thing, is he was a man of integrity. To say he was a religious man, he was, but that really doesn't capture the essence of who he was as a person. He was a religious man, but more importantly, he was a spiritual man. And the way that I saw him in church and the way he behaved in church and how he acted was the way he was at home. He wasn't two people. What he believed, he lived. And in growing up with this person, I can't tell you one lecture he ever gave me. I'm sure he did. He didn't preach at me. He didn't tell me what to do. What I learned by example. And I remember when I was younger, in, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years old, my parents would have prayer meetings at their house, and they have friends that would come over, and Dad was the leader. And I wasn't forced to be a part of it, but I would just observe, and there was just such a hunger in their hearts. They were just in prayer, just wanting God to be real. This is something that my dad imparted to me. We went to different churches, but for my father, it was always more than religion. God was meant to be a personal relationship and a life to be experienced. And just observing these meetings, there was just such a hunger for God's presence to be real and for God to answer the different needs they were praying about. And just watching that over time, that became a part of me. Again, my father didn't preach at me, but what I saw in him became the foundation of what was really important in my life. And Dad, I just thank you for that. And a man of few words, but there was plenty of strong action that came through his life. My father was not real expressive, verbally or emotionally. And looking back, this is something I missed. I wished I could have had more conversations with him and shared my feelings and had him share his feelings. A lot of times I didn't know what was going on in his life either. And I know that's a male thing, especially going back a generation. Men don't show emotions real well. We're not encouraged to do so. We weren't encouraged to do so, taught to do so. If you're a Greek male, that's even amplified more. If you're a Caucasus Greek male, I know the women here that have had the good fortune, and maybe at times you consider it misfortune, no, to be married to the Caucasus Greek male, you know what I'm talking about. There wasn't a lot of verbalization or sharing emotionally. I miss that, but this I can say about my father. What I knew about him, I never doubted. I knew he loved me, and no matter what I was going through in my life, I never doubted that love. I remember when I was in high school and a teenager and acting out in different ways, my father wanted to have a talk with me. He sat me down, and he was an elder at the time in the church we were attending. He said, David, if this doesn't change with your behavior, he goes, I'm going to have to resign as being an elder. And that really hurt me. I'm not going to tell you what I was doing. I can't even remember. I think it was just typical teenage stuff, so don't ask. But it really hurt me that he would actually consider resigning. But you know, even at that moment, I didn't doubt his love for me. I knew my place in my father's heart. It never changed whether I was acting good or acting out in a negative way. I always had that place with him. And I think anyone that knew him, once you were in his heart, you stayed there. And I love that about him. What I knew about him, it never changed. I felt secure in that. One other thing I want to talk about is just his humility. And I remember when I was younger, I got him to talk about his involvement in World War II in the Pacific, and that was a big thing just for him to be talking about it. And I wanted to hear these war stories, you know, fighter jets and destroyers and all this. And my dad would never brag. He would never toot his own horn. He wouldn't even embellish war stories at that time talking to me. He delivered mail, was involved with the mail service on New Caledonia. Then I heard he got injured. I'm thinking, oh, he got injured in battle. Well, no, he was driving in a Jeep with some of his buddies, and they overturned the Jeep. But you know, there's something I loved about him even then. I was so proud of him. It wasn't the war stories. It was the fact that he was not afraid to be honest. And that's the way he lived his life. He was a shepherd to so many people. And growing up, there's been so many people over the years that would come to him for advice, for wisdom, for prayer. And you know, one thing, the expression he always had is he always tell people, I'll pray about it. Used to drive me crazy, being impatient. Just tell them. And you know, when I was younger, a teenager, when I wanted to do something like this weekend, Dad, I'd like to go with some of the guys to the beach, can I use the car? He would use that too, I'll pray about it. And I think that was more to just kind of put me off so I wouldn't create a scene. But what went on within him is he wanted to give people something more than his own reasoning, his own wisdom. When he said he'd pray about something, that wasn't just a phrase, he prayed about it. And I don't know how many times he'd come back to people with something that the Lord had put on his heart, how many lives, and you can agree with this, were blessed and touched by the wisdom and love that came from him. So many of my friends who have wonderful parents of their own consider my mom and dad their parents. And that's that spiritual quality of shepherding that he had, just to draw people in. When he loved you, when he believed for you, you know that never changed. So in concluding, I really don't know how to say goodbye to my dad. I'm trying to find a way. And we've been so busy with everything lately, I know it's going to really hit me that he's physically gone. Maybe this morning's a start to say goodbye to him. In some ways, I can never say goodbye to him. He's so much a part of who I am. What's important to me, the way my life has been shaped, the foundation of my life, are all things that I have because of my father. They're his heart. So I have more than memories. The attitudes, the qualities I loved him in, he imparted. And I'll be forever grateful for that. So Dad, I can't really say goodbye to you, but I wanted you to hear these things because I wasn't able to tell you this when you were here. And I am so thankful for just what you've given me all these years. And I speak for my sister, Diana. We just truly are just so lucky to have had his love in our lives for the time that we did. My Aunt Pam, who is Pam Foreman, is my mom and Joanne's sister, wrote a poem. Can I read this to you? About John. Spiritual giant of a man, so revered by many, a beam for the truth, a fortress for stability, an anchor for those who would otherwise drift, so revered by many, one who discriminated between sportsman's competition and destructive competitiveness. This is his second nature, as if born with this jewel of a trait. John, your spirit seems at ease, calming the agitated spirits. Sometimes refreshingly cool, at other times heartwarmingly comforting. Even now you are among us and always will be if we welcome the breath of your spirit. Thank you.
We've had a wonderful time here, and our fellowship is going to continue. Instead of having a benediction, a blessing, we're going to stand, all of us, and we're going to sing two songs. The last one is the Lord's Prayer, and it's going to be like a benediction and a going out. So would you stand, please? And we're going to ask you, as soon as we're finished, if we can vacate the room as soon as possible. We have to rearrange the tables, or rearrange the chairs and set up tables. And this fellowship is going to continue, and this atmosphere that we have here shall continue on for some time. Thank you for being here. God bless you.